This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to the Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. I checked them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
What up? Art here for Masters of None, and with me is Jay.
You.
And Mike.
Hey.
Good to talk to you, fellas. Hope
yeah,
you all are doing good. What are you drinking, first and foremost?
Blue Point Summer Ale.
Nice.
Hey, me too. Really weird.
Toasted lager, and I'm being all fancy. I put it in a mug.
Mm.
Good for you.
Like a coffee mug? That's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to drink beer out of a coffee mug.
Art's pretending like he's on TV right now. He's just drinking a different drink out of a coffee mug. Do you think they ever drink coffee on those late night shows?
No.
It's just water.
It's all water, yeah.
So why a mug?
Just so they can brand the show on the mug, usually.
You could brand it on a different type of vessel.
Vessel?
Why does it have to be a coffee cup?
It's like a ship? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Like a catamaran.
Yeah. You have a clipper. Rich out of that.
Coming up, though, we got a cool interview with Dave Ferguson from The Birthday Boys. Follow Dave at Dave the Ferg on Twitter, and then also The Birthday Boys at The Birthday Boys. One of the shows that, Mike, you were like, hey, guys, check this out. And we talked to him for about 20 minutes, and we talked about the show, and IFC's not carrying it, but it's on Netflix, so watch it. Support these guys. They're great. I think there's like 7 or 8 of the guys, and they're doing something in comedy. And Dave writes for Comedy Bang Bang, and just check it out. A lot of cool skits and all that. And we actually included, he actually helped us out with our category or what we're talking about tonight, which is going to be TV shows we want back. And it's kind of fitting since that show is no longer on IFC. We did pour some salt in his wound. Sorry about that, Dave. But then he did play along, and coming up probably halfway through this show, we'll air that interview. So it was really good to talk to him.
Yeah, dude. It was fucking awesome. Thank you, Art. Good get.
You are welcome.
Well done.
Mike, let's start with you, man. What is one show that you would love to have back? And I for me, before you answer, I kind of did shows from like childhood to now, which I kind of miss.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So
I'm kind of all over
the map. That was the way I kind of looked at it.
Yeah, I'm a little all over the map here, and this will be one from childhood. Animaniacs. Remember that cartoon?
Mm, nice.
Yes.
That was like the, you know, our generation's Looney Tunes, you know, Looney Tunes cartoons and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and stuff. It was like the next generation kind of comedy. Because you look back at it now, even as an adult, and it's still kind of funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of inside jokes for parents.
Yeah, yeah, right. So. Yeah.
I've got the DVDs, and my kids will pop that in and watch it on their own.
Does that make you proud?
Does that. They'll watch the old school Batman TV show.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. They'll watch Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's my first one.
Nice. Oh, that's a fucking great pick. Shit.
Bring back Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes.
Come on. What are we doing here, people?
What's he doing now? Is he still doing like that?
Yeah, movie.
He's got a new movie coming out. Judd Apatow.
Yeah, Apatow's going to be doing a Pee-wee movie.
Oh, nice. Yep. What's the title?
I'm not sure.
Pee-wee runs 40 minutes longer than it should.
Gets sad at the end. Pee-wee's depressing too long ending. Directed by Judd Apatow. Pee-wee, don't know when to quit. Written and directed by Judd Apatow.
That's perfect.
I know that Judd Apatow totally acknowledges that he does it every time, though, too.
Yeah.
You ever listen to interviews with him?
Yeah.
He just
yeah.
makes fun of himself.
Yeah, I heard him on You Made It Weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about
that was a good one.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Who's going to be in this with Pee-wee? They kind of announced that yet or no?
No, I think it's... well, Apatow's Siegel. Doing it, and then who's... Somebody else big is writing it, isn't there?
Is Bill Hader involved, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, let's bring back Pee-wee's Playhouse, man. Enough time has passed. Now, Mega Man is his show back.
Dude, 62 years old?
Pee-wee is?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. When you see him up close, he's looking a little rough, but
well, that's what TV's for. How close are you getting?
Yeah. I was right in front of him at Braun Broadway. He came out after the thing. We're like right there.
Wow.
Yeah. He talked to my daughter.
Pee-wee's Big Holiday. That's the movie.
Pee-wee's Big Holiday. Oh, so it's going to be a Christmas movie.
Perhaps. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Although the Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special is fantastic. You ever see that?
It is fantastic.
We have that on DVD. We bust that out every Christmas. Yep. It is so weird and hilarious.
It's in the rotation for sure.
Yes. Definitely. That's a must watch.
Mm-hmm.
David Arquette, Lawrence Fishburne is rumored to be in it.
No way.
No. Cowboy Curtis.
I will eat Cowboy Curtis's cowboy hat if he makes an appearance as Cowboy Curtis.
Well, no, like, that would be amazing. IMDb right now, it says 2016 Pee-wee's Big Holiday. It says it's a TV movie.
What? No, that doesn't sound right. I think it's a theatrical release.
Are you reading fan fiction?
No, it's like go to IMDb.com. Check out Paul Rubens. Check out Paul Rubens' thing. And like the first thing you see on there is Pee-wee's Big Holiday. TV movie. And it says it's filming.
Hmm. Does it say Judd Apatow?
No, it doesn't.
I don't think that's right then.
And he was in Star Wars Rebels?
What?
I did a voice.
He was RX-24 in Droids in Distress.
Hmm.
I loved him in fucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh,
he
best.
Was the Riddler?
Yeah.
Ugh. Ooh.
Kill him a lot.
He was the Riddler in the Robot Chicken DC Comics special.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of Star Wars, almost done watching all 6 with my kids.
Nice.
I took Art's lead.
Did you do it in a specific order?
Yep. We did 4, 5, yes. 1, 2, 3, 6. We just watched Act 1 of Jedi.
Why is that the way to do it again?
Because you start with the original.
Yeah.
You get the first part of the story. You get the second. You get the big reveal that Darth Vader's his father.
Mm-hmm.
And then before it ends, you go back and you get Darth Vader's story, how he became Darth Vader. And then you go back and see how it all ends.
What they think.
Damn. That's fucking next level shit.
Hell yeah. I mean, the only thing that gets spoiled when you do that is that Luke and Leia are brother and sister.
Right.
But
who cares?
It's worth it. Dude, my daughter was like mad when Anakin finally turned.
Really?
She was like yelling no at the TV in a better way than
done?
In a better way than Darth Vader.
No.
She's like yelling no and like punching the couch.
What?
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
When, you know, he pledges allegiance to the Emperor and calls him Darth Vader the first time. Oh, she was so mad.
Have your kids
That's amazing.
Have your kids watch Star Wars Droid Tales. It's a Lego thing.
Oh, we're going to watch that for sure.
And
I'm going to let it build up first.
They make fun of everything. Like, they're making fun of the whole idea of, like, why they had to get Queen Amidala to sign a trade thing. They're like, wait, why do we need to sign this again? And they're like,
yeah, I mean,
it was great.
The whole reasons behind everything are still, like, over her head.
Right.
Like the whole first like half hour of Phantom Menace, she's like, what's going on? What are these weird people talking about?
Oh, the Senate.
Yeah. It's like, why do only their bottom lips
move? Proof of a Senate.
And I think I've only seen episode 3 like once.
Really?
Which is kind of cool, yeah. So it's like, this is only the second time I'm seeing it.
In that Lego thing when Qui-Gon, because it's pretty much C-3PO and R2-D2 telling Luke and Leia about like the first 3 movies. And so when Qui-Gon's talking to young Anakin, he's like, hey, I think you should become a Jedi. Watto's in the back like, red flags, get your red flags here.
Nice.
Other observations from the kids is everyone gets their hands chopped off and their heads.
Yeah.
Everybody's heads and hands just get chopped off. Oh, and my son said something amazing. Oh, fuck. I can't remember what it was. It was so profound for a 5-year-old. I forget what was going on, but it was something along the lines of, so that's what Star Wars is? Or something like that. Might have been when like, Count Dooku gets his head chopped off or something like that. He's like, how come everybody dies in these movies? It's just people, it's literally just one character dying after another. It's just nonstop death.
It's the original Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't remember. I forgot what he said, but it just, like, blew my mind. It was so awesome. God damn it. I can't believe I forgot.
Art's up.
All right. One of the things I'd love to come back is American Gladiators.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's so good right now, too, with all the new, like, well, that's what American Ninja Warrior is, except there's no gladiators.
Right, yeah. Just these people throwing, like, beanbags at them as they're doing it.
Large Q-tips.
Yeah.
They should bring that back, man. You know what, though? Everybody would, like, sue, because people got hurt on that show, like, all the time.
Badly.
Remember? Yeah, like, broken arms and shit. Like, oh, well, let's bring out the next competitor.
Yeah.
Let's bring out the fill-in. Here's Richard from Branson, Missouri. Cut to bio... montage. Like, yo, that's too bad.
Or do you remember when they wouldn't
fibula?
You remember when they would hurt themselves way too close to the end to let anybody in, so they would just make one person run the fucking final race by themselves?
Yeah,
just time them.
Anticlimactic thing of all time.
American Gladiators is a great pick.
You could have like Brian Bosworth be the new Laser.
Laser.
They should totally bring that back. I'll go right along with that, and I think it used to come on after American Gladiators. I think it was it called Roller Jam? But it was like a roller derby show.
Oh,
it was like roller derby mixed with like WWF.
Yeah, they had like characters and stuff.
Yeah, they had like teams and characters, right. And they had like there was like, but it was like the track was like a figure eight, and it had like a wall that they like went up.
Yes,
and there was an alligator pit that nobody ever got thrown into. Like, it was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. Like, there were good guys and bad guys,
right? And then they have like coaches.
Yeah, yeah, there were like managers,
and they were like, you know, they all were trying to be Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah,
and totally. I think did they do it by city? Was it cities? Was it like Philadelphia,
so.
Something or other? I seem to remember a Philly team.
Philadelphia.
Probably. And how like each one of them had like the anchor, and she was like the really the tough one, but she had pigtails for some reason.
Not as many fat chicks in it back then.
No.
As there is now.
No, they had that one beefy. It was like the NES hockey game.
Hockey?
Where you can make like one beefy player and one skinny player.
And you know what, while we're talking about roller derby, I want to branch off that and another TV show that was amazing. It was called Roller Girls, I think it was called. Do you guys remember this at all?
No, I don't remember this one.
This was on when we were at the radio station, because we had one of the girls on the show.
Yeah,
she called in.
And what was that? What show was that?
I think it was, let me see, I think it was called Roller Girls. It was about like an Austin, like it was like a reality show, but it was like Austin, an Austin based like roller derby league.
And we had like the roller derby from like Pennsylvania come in, and they were all like in the blade skates or whatever, and I was just on like the old school skates, and they were throwing me into cubicles.
Oh yeah, we did a roller derby in the office. Yes, that's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because you weren't there for that?
No, I was not there for that.
Yeah, because at the radio station, the office had like a hallway that went around, like it was a big square. So we had a roller derby in the office, like around the hallway. They were just slamming Art all over the place. But yeah, they're like going in and out of cubicles, just smashing everything.
I think I remember hearing about it later that day when I actually got there.
Yeah,
you guys were there for 4 hours before I even showed up.
Yeah. Yes, this show is called Roller Girls. It was a 2006 A&E reality show. Following the women in the Austin, Texas Lone Star Roller Girls. And they had some hot chicks on that one.
Really?
My goodness gracious. Yeah, there's a DVD of it, like of this series.
Goodness gracious!
I wore them out. The DVDs don't work anymore.
Do you remember when we set the carpet on fire?
Yes, I do.
We were trying to light Sterno. We tipped it upside down.
Yeah, and then Sterno just flumped out onto the carpet.
Oh, Jesus. Flame. Jesus.
And then I went to stomp it out, and all I did was spread it. Still on fire. Like, step on it. I stomp on it. And then
was this on the air?
No.
I don't think so. It was actually off the air.
There was a break. We're probably playing Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. So I step on it to try and put it out, and it just spreads to like 10 times the size of the puddle of fire.
And our boss, who loved us, he's always in early. He like, oh, you guys, and just walks.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
That show was fucking amazing. Just comedians ripping each other apart. but yet at the same time, like, actually debating about hot button issues. Patrice O'Neill, Greg Giraldo, a lot of those guys are dead now.
Yeah, they are. Nick DiPaolo.
He's not dead, but and like Norton, and then they would get like, I think it wasn't Seinfeld on a show, an episode or something.
I don't know.
They would get like,
wasn't like they would not even sit; they just stand around like a pool table.
Kind of, sort of
something. It was just kind of like,
it was just like couches, I think.
Right, just like hanging out.
Oh yeah, I think there was a segment where they stood around a pool table. And they would do like a quick bit sometimes at the end. There wasn't one with George Carlin and like Jim
Carlin. Yeah, Carlin was like
the priest and the altar boy or something.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, very, just such a fucking cool show, man. Like one of the most honest shows on TV. I'm still not sure exactly why they yanked it. Do you? Do you know why they yanked it?
I don't know. I don't really know the story. I just heard Colin quit on something, but he didn't talk about it.
He should at least do something like that online.
If he had, like, he's busy like doing one man shows on Broadway directed by Seinfeld.
Nice guy too. I've met him.
Yeah, did you do a Laugh Spin podcast with him?
Yeah, fun as hell, man. I was very nervous.
I mean, folks, come on.
I was very nervous, but I think I did all right.
Well, you know, let's move on to the next one, I guess. We finished, stupid.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Thank you. It's not far from my own register. I kind of did two in a row, so let's go back to art, I guess.
Cool.
I would love to see Pro Stars back on the air.
What is it?
Pro Stars.
Pro Stars.
Is that, what was that, when the All-Star Sports Guys cartoon?
Yeah, it was with Jordan Gretzky and Bo Jackson.
All right, who would it be today?
LeBron.
Yep.
And
Steph Curry's daughter.
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby.
No, Sidney Crosby sucks.
Of course he sucks, but he's
Ovechkin,
like he's like one of the most popular fucking players in the league.
Yeah, Ovechkin probably, maybe.
Ovechkin, yeah.
Okay, Ovechkin, James, and then
Bo Jackson.
He's like their Splinter.
Yeah.
Is it football or baseball?
Probably football.
Bo Jackson was in it for both in Pro Stars? Or was he in it for just baseball? I thought
it was both.
Was it?
All right. You go either way.
I don't even remember the fucking premise of that goddamn cartoon.
Mike Trout, if you did baseball.
I don't think he's that popular. It's got to be a football player. Who's like the most loved football player? Tom Brady. Who it would be, of course.
But I was going to say Brady, but he's not the most beloved. A lot of people don't like him.
So who's the most beloved? Like everybody loves.
Raymond? I don't know.
I like that softball I set up for you there. Thanks.
John through the pooper.
Football.
Yeah, I think the answer is Bo Jackson.
Drew Brees.
Yeah. Oh, Drew Brees is a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. Nobody hates Drew Brees.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
Loves Drew Brees.
Peyton Manning, guys.
Would it be Peyton?
Yeah.
How stupid are we? Of course it's Peyton Manning.
Shucks. No, but
Your boy Mark would love Drew Brees.
Oh, he would love Drew Brees. He's in love with Drew Brees. Fucking asshole. If he gets him again this year, I swear to God.
Can't wait for that. Just the sheer determination for that.
Talking about my fantasy football team. My
you should be football. Like the Drew Brees Award.
Yeah, he fucking loves him. He gets him every year. It's just amazing. Overspends. Anyway. Inside jokes about.
All right, Mike.
I got one. Yeah. All right. I'll kind of do half and half here. Mr. Show.
Yeah. That is kind of coming back. They're doing something now.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. Is it stage or is it actually on TV?
I don't know. But they're doing something.
They are. But a great sketch comedy show.
No, it's something that's going to be taped.
Is it?
Yep.
Nice. Great sketch comedy show on HBO. Which really, you know, allowed them to pretty much do whatever the fuck they wanted. And some great supporting cast. Wasn't Brian Posehn one of
freaking
people on the cast?
Brian Posehn, Jack Black.
Jack Black, right.
David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, Paul F. Tompkins.
Right.
Scott Aukerman, SpongeBob, Tom Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Sarah Silverman, was on it, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah, fucking great, great show. Great sketch show. I've grown to like David Cross less and less. I actually liked him more in his earlier stuff, which sounds so fucking cliche and corny. I liked his old stuff better. Dick.
Well, I think that's a good segue to go from Mr. Show and Bob Odenkirk to what Bob Odenkirk just did for the last year or so, which is kind of I mean, what was his role with them? It's like
he was executive producer, but he was also on the show.
Yeah, he was a lot. Kind of the headmaster of the Birthday Boys TV show.
Yeah, he was the linchpin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's kick it over to that right now.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Mike from Masters of None with Art. What's up, Art?
Yo, man. How you doing?
Good. Very good, because we have on the line with us Mr. Dave Ferguson from the Birthday Boys. What's up, sir?
Hey, not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, we were just saying Birthday Boys obviously is on IFC, but no longer. After two seasons, they let it go and just released season two on Netflix, which, again, I went through in about 2 days, which was awesome. And now, no longer on IFC. I'm sorry to hear that, sir. I'm very, very sorry.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for watching. Yeah, I like to think of it as not so much a canceled IFC series, but a new Netflix series.
Nice.
I like it.
Positive thinking. That's awesome.
New beginnings. I like it. I like it. So the first question I have for you is pretty obvious. Since it's now off IFC, gaining some traction on Netflix, you know, doing all the kind of the guerrilla media style that's going on nowadays, has there been offers? Has there been things going in the works, like maybe things you can't necessarily talk about, but kind of hint at that maybe we'll see a season three somewhere or something of the same ilk somewhere else?
Yeah, I think that the future of the show as the Birthday Boy sketch show is probably a long shot. But, you know, the cool thing is, the opportunity to even have done that show opened up so many things. So obviously Chris and Jeff are two members of the group. They're kind of looking out for directing opportunities now. And Mike and Tim and I are all working on Comedy Bang Bang and writing for the Emmys this year with Andy Samberg. So we certainly aren't done collaborating. I just don't know how realistic it is right now with the number of sketch shows that are off and running already to have a new life. We're certainly open to it. We pitched it around and talked about it a little bit, but I think the more realistic thing would maybe be something more narrative driven that we're all in, yeah. Which would be super fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And you touched on it, and I find that this is a similar thing with a lot of sketch groups, is that everybody seems to have their niche as far as what they do. You see, some of you guys are more into directing, some of you, you know, obviously you all collaborate writing and stuff, but what do you feel your main role was in the group?
Craft services. I was so good at, I made these little crescent rolls every day on set. I took a lot of writing responsibilities, which everybody does, but that was definitely one of the things. And then early on in the existence of the group, it's so funny because you don't realize how important this is, but just organizing things like, you guys doing a podcast, but producing, you know, was such a big part of just getting the show in front of the eyes that it had to get in front of. And even in the early days, we were at the UCB Theater, so making sure we were all on the same page and actually trying to stage shit instead of talking about it until 4 in the morning. And paying the rent, you know, I was really good at, we all lived in a house together, and I think I was good at paying the rent.
Nice. That is very important. Very important to keep things afloat.
What was the origin story for you guys? Like, how'd you all meet? Was it over at Upright Citizens Brigade? Or, like, how was the origin story for all you guys?
Yeah, we actually all went to Ithaca College in upstate New York. Not to be confused with Ithaca University, which is a totally fictitious university made up by Road Trip. Ithaca College is a real, vital, small college in upstate New York near Cornell. But we kind of knew each other, but at Ithaca, there was no, like, old improv teams or any, like, standing comedy scene. So it wasn't until we all moved out to Los Angeles when we graduated that we started, like, working together in any real capacity. And then it was UCB. It was so funny. We took, like, an improv 101 course together, and we were 7/13ths of a class, which is so unfair when everyone's taking a 101 class and 7 people know each other and have little inside jokes and everybody else is just like terrified of, you know, not being funny. So we cheated, basically. We cheated our way to the top.
Beautiful. You guys have a pretty good track record, though, as far as other sketch comedy groups that have had their own shows and then have gone on to bigger and better things. I mean, you look at, you know, people like the State. Now they're all over the place as far as in the comedy scene, writing movies and shows and all that kind of stuff. And are those kind of your aspirations? I mean, you mentioned Comedy Bang Bang, which is great, and some other things in the works. It just seems that, like, sketch comedy people are so good at, you know, devising funny concepts on screen, maybe not necessarily performing, but acting and writing. Is that kind of how you see you guys going, or is it you know, do you want to stay in front of the camera?
Yeah, I think it's like, it's become a genre of TV and film. I mean, Wet Hot American Summer, for people of our generation, for a lot of people, it was like, yeah, I saw the movie in college. I hadn't even seen The State yet, and then I put it together later. And I feel like even somebody like Bob Odenkirk, who made our show, who's the executive producer of our show, you know, he really didn't get his, like, nationwide exposure until Breaking Bad, which is crazy, because my brain, here's, like, one of the greatest, yeah, exactly, sketch comedy brains of all time.
Right.
And yet when I bring him up to, you know, my square of an older brother, it's like the Breaking Bad guy, you know?
Yeah, right,
So, and that's not a bad thing. I feel like that's how all cool stuff gets discovered. You appreciate it later. So we should be so lucky to have any kind of cult status or have people come back to it later when we're billionaires. but yeah, I don't know if you, you target that as your goal, because you can't really control that. I think, like, for all of us, we're just trying to, A, have a job, but B, keep making stuff we actually like. Cause it's probably pretty easy to fall into the trap of, oh, you got to make the one thing that was unfiltered. You got to make your sketch show. Now just go staff on a, you know, a sitcom for the rest of your career. But I feel like the cool thing is people like David Wayne, who carve out this directing career, that they're making huge projects, but they're always, you know, they're still also doing Wet Hot American Summer for Netflix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sticking to their roots at the same time. So, yeah, if I can be that lucky, if any of us can, that is the goal. But I think the short-term goal is like, oh, I hope the next thing I work on is something that I actually like. People like Nick Kroll have proven that if you do a little bit of everything and you're constantly putting your material out there, you get the exposure, you know, or Key and Peele. They just keep doing it, and you just have to hope that audiences come to you.
Yeah, I think what you said right there, Nick Kroll, when I started watching, like, Mike was like, guys, Jay, who's not on the show with us, obviously, right now, but Mike is always kind of the guy who's, like, searching for cool things to watch. Like, dude, you guys got to watch the show Birthday Boys and try and get, you know, one of the guys on. I was like, all right, cool. So started watching the shows, and when you said Nick Kroll, like, totally get that same vibe. And there are certain sketches that Nick might have, I think we talked to him about, that he thought might hit, but then all of a sudden, like, some sketch that he just put in there all of a sudden just, like, blew up, and he's like, wow, that's crazy. For you guys, with your following people, make sure you follow Dave at Dave the Ferg on Twitter, and also check out at The Birthday Boys on Twitter as well to see the whole ensemble. But was there one sketch that you guys maybe kind of did that you didn't think, like, ah, you know, it might do well, but all of a sudden blew up through, like, social media? People were just dying when they saw it.
I'm trying to think of anything that even reached that kind of status. I would say the one that people kind of actually participated in the best was this idea. We have this beef with social media in general. I think it's probably both our fatal flaw and a point of pride that, like, there's an aspect of marketing a show that is absolutely disgusting. Like, you take something as cool as Key and Peele or Schumer or Kroll or whatever, and then you try to hashtag it. And I was watching the All-Star Game. I'm going to date your show, but I was watching the All-Star Game last night, and there were over 45 hashtags for Head and Shoulders, Spot-a-Whiff, Tweet-a-Whiff, No Flakes, Home Run Deck, you know, and it's just like, it's so nauseating. So we did this thing about how do you Freshie, and Freshies was like our fictitious fast food chain. And the frustrating but really funny thing about it was probably the most successful thing we did online, because people actually used the fake hashtag How Do You Freshie and How Do You Birthday, and so we could actually track who was watching the show and who cared. And so it was really ironic, because we were trying to take a huge dig at how these marketing campaigns don't work and it's stupid and everybody knows that it doesn't work, and then you log online and you finally have a sketch that people are talking about, albeit ironically.
I participated in that, I believe. I believe the Masters of None account participated in that a little bit. I also made one I don't think was something that you were pursuing, but I made one for Dream Achieved. That was my hashtag that I made.
Thank you.
So, yeah, no problem.
That was a tough moment in my life. That was my first moment of nudity on television,
yeah.
Which would be fine. I wasn't worried about my ass being on television as much as my dick was in a little, they call them cock socks. I think that's like literally
that's modesty, a technical term.
You know? Yeah, modesty cloth. And it looks like a satin condom that is just a little too big for your dick. And the way you attach it is it has an elastic string that wraps around the base, like a cock ring. And so I had that tied on, but I was so nervous that it kept slipping off because my penis was just sucking up inside of me. So it was a really tough day on set.
Sounds like it. Jeez. the tweet that I wrote was, I just burped and farted at the same time. Dream achieved.
Did we save it?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. I would have been mortified if we hadn't saved it, at least a fave, maybe an RT.
Yeah, that was, it was definitely a fave, I believe. yeah, you guys.
Well, hashtags left.
How difficult is it? Cause I noticed there's something that's very unique about the Birthday Boys, which I find great because it's great how it all kind of comes back together. And it's one of Art's favorite things, which is the callback. You guys write all of your sketches have kind of a thematic version of them where they all kind of intertwine, and that's very that's very unique because a lot of sketch shows it's just sketch something and they're not really connected. How difficult is that to write though as a process? You know, do you guys kind of have an idea and then work it out and then figure out okay how can we tie it to somebody else's idea?
Yeah, Bob was really helpful on that, I think, as far as making it a priority. As far as the process itself, we had already probably done 5 years of monthly shows at the UCB Theater where we were doing a half hour of new material every month. So we had at least as a base, all those ideas that some of them were right for TV, some of them would never work, but you had these kind of core premises. So season one was a lot of let's just make sure in case we don't get to make more of these, we do all of our favorite ideas, whether they're new, old, whatever. The storyline or through line or theme was kind of brought to the equation after the fact. So we would make a huge board of all of our favorite stuff, and then we'd kind of look for commonalities and put them in clusters, and then find a thread or a character that we thought could run through. I think the most effective example of that, if people want to check it out, is the Contemporary Family episode.
Yeah.
Where Tim is kind of this liberal pundit type who's saying that the modern family can be anything. It can be 10 kids alone in a woods or whatever.
Right.
And we found like, okay, well, you can kind of look for connections and familial elements throughout every sketch. Here are some sketches that play into that better than others. Whereas in season two, it was like, okay, let's talk about a big story or sketch idea that has enough of a world behind it that we want to explore it from different angles. And so we maybe revisit that 3 or 4 times, and then to pad out the rest of the episode, then you're looking for sketches that have another, tangential affiliation with what we were doing or a character that could overlap. That was kind of the process. Usually it was just come up with great ideas first and then see how rich they are. And the ones that have enough of a world behind them, you can expand on.
I'd say it's interesting how the differences between the two seasons, how your process was, how you approached it, it was a little different. However, as it played out on the screen, it was, you didn't even notice that. You didn't even notice like the difference. It all seemed
right.
Kind of thematic in that season two was just picking up right where season one left off in your process. But you're saying it was kind of a whole different animal how you approached it, which is great. And it's a testament to you guys and how you guys write.
Yeah, it's definitely an evolution. And I think the other thing that maybe you don't, like you said, you don't feel it in the final product necessarily, but you see it in the process. So it's like we became more efficient. And that the biggest bummer about every sketch show ever, which I think we're probably going to talk about today, or every TV show ever, is there is a sweet spot that you hit that no one will ever appreciate, which is how the show is made.
Yeah.
And when it starts to get easier, you know, when Comedy Bang Bang, I've been on this show now for whatever, 5 years, and it's like, well, once you realize what Scott's voice is as the character of host of the show, and everybody agrees on it, you've just saved yourself 4 hours of conversation every day about what the show is.
Right,
so that
right.
More than anything, it just gives you that much more time to, you know, to talk about what Jerry and George are actually getting into rather than who their characters are. So that's, I mean, I could be sour grapes all day, but a third season, a fourth season of a sketch show is probably when you really hit your stride. Bob says a lot of times he feels like, you know, you need 3 seasons just to explain what a sketch show is, because it's about sensibility and group mind. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, and you guys, absolutely. I feel the same way. I mean, I think with any TV show, and we can start kind of talking about that now, but I feel with any TV show, you need a season or two to at least understand what the show is, who the characters' voices are, and then also, too, how the audience reacts towards certain characters. I mean, you look at something like, you know, a good example is like Family Ties. You know, in the beginning of Family Ties, they wanted to center around the parents. And then as
right.
the show progressed and you kind of found a voice and what the audience really appreciated, it focused more on Michael J. Fox and the kids, because that's what the audience kind of wanted. And then, like you said, they kind of hit their stride.
I think, too, where you have shows now with social media and everything, where people are like, oh, with so many channels, too, you have this all these different shows that are out there, and people don't give, like you said, a full couple of years for that show to kind of mature and grow, almost kind of like a wine. For me, it's like I'm thinking about just most recently, like a show is like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where that came from the Marvel movies, and you're like, all right, I know this guy, Agent Coulson, this is great. Even in the beginning, fans like, wow, this show is kind of taking a little bit slow, but you're giving it because you know the characters and what it's relating to the Marvel universe. You're like, all right, I'll give it some time. So yeah, I totally agree with what Mike was saying, where the show, we would love to see more of the Birthday Boys on IFC, but thankfully we can see it on Netflix. To kind of wrap it up, man, David, for you, what are some of the shows, whether back in the day or now, that you would love to see, besides your own, obviously, come back that maybe didn't get a full cycle of a chance to, you know, get everybody involved in the show?
The Cosby Show, number one. I mean, the lovable Dr. Huxtable. What could possibly not be wholesome and great? I'm tired of family television not getting its due.
The Cosby Show would look a lot like Arrested Development now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you keep that together? Ooh. I really liked Party Down. It's kind of probably a cliche example. But a friend of mine told me about that show, I think right after the first season was wrapping up. I didn't have, what was it on, Stars?
Stars, yeah.
And so it was like the first show that I ever torrented. Sorry, Stars. And I now, in hindsight, it's like, I should have ordered Stars. I hear this from people all the time. It's like, well, you should have got ISC. That would have helped take the show on. No, but like the cast on that show is so amazing. I mean, like literally every person in that cast was already cool at that point, but now is doing such cool stuff. I've been watching Masters of Sex. Lizzie Kaplan fixes in full effect there, I can assure you. But Adam Scott, Marino, I mean, Megan Mullally's in that show as just like, you know, one of the gang, or Jane Lynch, right, and Martin Starr. Right. Like, everybody is good. But yeah, that was one that I was like, how does that, you know, like so many people will, you know, tweet at us like, I can't believe your show's not coming back or whatever. And that's how I feel about the math of Party Down, only to an exponential degree, because I understand why our show might not catch hold. I cannot even understand how somebody else wouldn't want that show almost immediately the day it was canceled, you know?
Yeah, agreed. And and it's, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these shows that are getting second life on, you know, like Netflix or Hulu or something. And then something like, a good example is Arrested Development, actually, you know, Netflix will say, hey, we'll bring you back. You know, we'll take you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Full House. Too,
yeah. Full House. Yeah. There's another one.
That's, you know, that's a series I would have said if it wasn't already a given that it's coming back.
Nice. David, thank you so much for taking the time. People check him out at Dave the Ferg on Twitter and also at The Birthday Boys. Hopefully in the near future you bring it back, but I know you're crazy busy with everything else you got going on with Comedy Bang Bang and all the other stuff you do. So thanks for taking the time, man.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me. I love Masters of None.
Nice.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that.
And we're back.
All right. So let's continue on with some more. A great interview there, by the way, guys. Great job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Dave Ferguson. Yeah. He's fucking awesome. I love him.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And he immediately followed us on Twitter.
Yeah, and the Birthday Boys did too. Yeah, so.
Which is fucking.
Nobody ever does that.
Nobody does that. That's super nice.
Yeah, sweet. Maybe they'll even actually retweet this when it comes out too.
Yeah, right on.
All right, let's move right along. I've got one next. I'm going to go a little more on the drama side of things. This was a show, again, back when we were all on radio, and I know me and Art was watching this along with me, but it was called The Black Donnellys.
Yeah. Mm.
This was like an awesome, Paul Haggis kind of created it.
Mm-hmm.
of course he did.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like, it was almost like a Boondock Saints-y type of thing, but it was just like about a bunch of fucked up like Irish brothers and drug dealing and whatnots and, you know, that whole kind of thing. But it was like one of the first things that Olivia Wilde did.
Right.
And man, did she look good in that.
Yeah.
Man.
My goodness gracious.
America.
I still can't believe like she's that married show. To Jason Sudeikis.
Who's a big Air Jordan shoe fan, by the way.
Is he?
Fun fact. Artifact.
I got it.
Artifact. Somewhere.
Always on the ball.
Yep. Good job there.
I was like a sick of mine. I went and scratched my leg and you guys fucking had a great one. Damn it.
Yeah, I like that show because it was different and I don't know, I dug it. And of course the shows you liked, like, yeah, we're not renewing. See ya.
Well,
yeah.
It wasn't even that. They ended it but like right before the last episode aired.
Yeah,
it was like one or two episodes left, and they pulled it.
Oh,
you,
is that right?
You were trying to get that petition, or we should get a petition for them to finish it.
Yeah, but literally, they pulled it off with like one or two episodes left. It might have been the last episode. I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Keep
you had to wait for the DVDs to come out like 6 months later.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's absolutely incredible. Actually,
yeah, it was like an hour long drama,
and they got to what, 11 episodes.
Something like that, yeah.
You decide to pull it then? Jesus.
Yeah we're done.
Ugh.
It was a great show, though.
Yeah.
I watched it, but I heard good things.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, like, not super famous, but you'll recognize all of them. It's like all our character actors.
It was like if Rescue Me met in Bruges.
Yeah, dude, Rescue Me, that's a good one right there.
Yeah. Although, that kind of wore out its welcome. The last season was a little...
So why did you like the show, Art? It was about, a helicopter pilot?
Yeah, and they go to different convenience stores looking for great deals on Groupon. It's pretty cool.
Oh, they go into a store to find a Groupon.
I don't know. That was the beauty of it. Didn't make any sense, but it did. They were so meta back then. No, it was cool. I just thought that it was a action-adventure show, but it was dealing with helicopters. I thought back then, as a kid growing up, like, the helicopters are cool, and it was like a badass helicopter, and they're always like trying to defeat the enemy.
Ernest Borgnine?
Yes. You always be making like flapjacks in the back of the helicopter. It was great.
When the engine would start, his fucking eyebrows would go like party favors.
All of a sudden we're No Limit rappers. I love that. Birdman.
He has terrible eyebrows. I thought mine were bad.
Well, at least they remade it as a podcast network.
Got it. That's a thinking man's joke right there.
Yes, oh, yeah. It is.
A thinking nerd's
joke. So I don't get it.
All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to get British since we're talking about Stringfellow McGee over there. I'm going to go with Spaced.
Yeah, you love that show.
I do love that show.
You do. You fucking bring it up all the time. You love that show.
I know. And my other one I bring up all the time, too. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing the British Office come back, too.
Mm.
I'd take more of that.
Well, Gervais isn't he reprising David Brent like online? Funny online videos as David Brent.
Oh no, that's cool.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like reprising it in a way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spaced. If you're not familiar, it's basically all the guys from Shaun of the Dead. It was two seasons. I think it's only like 16 episodes, maybe.
Right.
Like every British show, two seasons and a special. Although they did two seasons and like five movies.
Right.
And it's just all movie references and just quick, fast paced comedy. Like it's awesome. It's a perfect TV show.
I still haven't watched it.
You still have lots to go.
I still haven't watched it.
Why don't you go next then, Mike?
I still have to watch that show.
Oh, you still haven't seen it? Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
That's all right. You're just letting yourself down.
I know. I feel like I'm letting you down.
You've done that just more than anything.
It may be, one of the best comedies of all time.
Yeah.
Episode for episode, yeah. There's not one part of it that's bad. Not one episode is bad.
It's a rousing endorsement right there, guys.
You could literally watch it in one day if you wanted. They're only half-hour episodes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like the fastest watch ever.
You know what I found on fucking, speaking of British shows, what I found on Netflix, they have Danger Mouse.
Yeah, it just came on.
Complete series.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I watched a couple episodes. I don't know. I don't know if it holds up.
No? Oh, boy. My childhood is ruined.
Oh, it's actually really sad because I watched like two episodes and I was like, the animation is so terrible. It's distractingly terrible. You know how like in the Flintstones where they run past the same table and chair if somebody's getting chased, the background.
Yeah.
It's picture that, but everything is repeated. Like even the forefront animation is repeated multiple times. It's pretty bad. You rarely, and this, here's another thing I noticed. You rarely actually see their mouths move. It's very rare. That's a show that's coming back.
Danger Mouse?
Yeah, Danger Mouse. There's on the...
It should be like a CGI version. That'd be kind of cool.
I think it's BBC Canada or something is fucking putting it out. It's like updated animation and stuff. It's pretty cool looking.
Give us another one then, Mike. Since it's time to go.
Cool. I mean, we all know why this one was quote unquote canceled, but I still would love to see it come back. Chappelle Show.
Yeah. Nice.
First two episodes of the third season or whatever. Isn't there like only like two or three episodes of the third season? That's right around when he left. That's well. No, they just kind of pieced it together of like sketches that they were going to throw out. And that was like their quote unquote third season. It feels very out of place. But we actually just watched a couple of episodes of the Chappelle Show earlier. We just popped it on. I can watch those. Even though some of it is dated now, it's still fucking funny. It does not wane one bit, man. Watch the fucking Samuel L. Jackson beer. How's it taste, motherfucker?
I still love the fact that my friend is in it. He's in the black KKK guy sketch.
He is?
Oh, nice.
And when the one guy's head explodes, like there's just a close-up of my friend's face with blood splattering all across it.
Really?
Just for like a second, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
My friend Joe. I think he was like a PA or whatever on it.
Oh, that's great.
And he just had him as an extra. But it's just a close-up of his face and blood splattering across it from the guy's head.
That's like the best sketch of the whole series.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's like one of the highly touted ones is like one of the best.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. It's
genius.
My same friend is also in Wet Hot American Summer.
What?
He worked on that. He does like PA, like whatever. He does like set stuff and location scouts. Like
he's
whatever.
The best boy.
Yeah. he's in the scene where they go to town and then they all shoot up heroin, like the drug house.
Yeah.
He's like one of the passed out like drug guys. He's like passed out on Janine Garofalo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He insists that he hooked up with Janine Garofalo, like he made out with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you believe him, or is he always like a...
What do you believe?
I
don't
know. I mean, he's an intimidating dude, so I'm going to just go along. I always went along with it. he was that friend who was always getting in fights and always had like a broken wrist, like always had a cast on.
Yes.
You know that guy?
I know that guy.
Yeah, the guy's always in fights. That's my buddy Joe James.
The guy you got to watch just how many drinks he has, because if he can have seven, but if he has eight... We're getting in a fight. It's
done.
Yeah.
You caught my back, right? What?
Yeah.
Art.
I'd say in live, it's it'd be tough to kind of bring back the magic, but I was a big fan of In Living Color.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would like to see what they would kind of do. And maybe it would be obviously new up and coming comedians, but I'd love to see like that show back on.
I think that was one that also kind of fizzled out towards the end, though, no?
Yeah.
Everybody was leaving. Everybody was leaving, yeah. You know, what's funny is somebody, we were talking about, we were actually just talking about this show the other day because it's on, it's still on like FX, like really late at night. Mm. And talk about a show, not only a show that's dated, but holy shit, a show that if they tried to get it on the air today, it would not happen.
Oh my God, no.
Like
no,
all the jokes they fucking had. Oh my God, yeah, like all the characters and shit, fucking men on film, overtly gay guys, and it would be so watered down if it was still out today. Because it was on Fox. It was on network TV.
Well, Fox was barely network back then.
True. Fox was borderline porno at some times.
Yeah.
Homie the Clown.
Oh, fucking yeah, Homie the Clown.
Everything was great.
Yeah. And what an amazing cast. Damon Wayans, Jim Carrey, Tommy Davidson. You got fucking David Alan Grier. SW1. Yes, Sean and Marlon Wayans joined later. There's like 18 fucking Wayans kids. Jesus.
Lopez got her start.
Oh yeah, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Fly Girls. I love how he would tell them everybody's name in the beginning of the show. That's Jeannie, Tiffany, Teresa, Letitia,
and Marmalade,
and Kevin.
So many great sketches. I love the homeless guy. He had that jar of pickles.
Yep. Oh, dude, fucking handyman.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They would never get away with that today. No way. There's no fucking way.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Oh, yeah, man. All that shit. I got some from Facebook here.
Rock them out.
Threw it on, and we got quite a few, as a matter of fact. Crystal Kush says, Firefly, so people will stop fucking talking about it. that's very true. That's one it's not on my list because I've never seen it, and I've never really been intrigued to see it. Either of you guys?
No, but that was like you had Nathan Fillion and a bunch of other. I think Alan, what was it? The dude from Dodgeball who was like the pirate Steve.
Yeah.
He was in there. I mean, if you look at it, that was kind of a cast of, you know, the who's who now of, you know, Comic Con gods or something.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I never saw the show. My dad was a big fan of it, and he's like, you gotta check it out. I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out later. Just never have.
Mm.
I think that's like kind of like our good buddy Eric Nagel. You know, he watches Doctor Who, and it's like we've never gotten to Doctor Who, right? Anybody here or no?
No, never got into it.
Don't get it.
I don't get it either.
That's a show where everyone's like, "Oh, you got to go see it," or "This it's awesome." You're like, "All right," and I just never got around to get it. But yeah, Firefly, there's so much hype in that too.
Yeah, I mean, dude, nothing.
Serenity. Against,
well, that was like the movie for it, right? That was like the closure of the. I don't know.
I hate all that shit.
If you love it, great. Cool. Good on you. I've never really been into it. Katie Weigel says Happy Endings. Another show that I've heard a lot of people say they want to. I actually liked it. I did like it. I watched a couple episodes. It was on ABC.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. That was with what's her face from SNL, Casey Wilson.
Yeah, and Eliza Cuthbert.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That was all right. I didn't love it.
Mm. Bryce Murray, Quantum Leap.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Fucking love Quantum Leap.
That was pretty good.
Jake Paparelli says, is with you, Art Airwolf.
Nice. Anybody mention, because another show of mine that I haven't talked about was A-Team.
Yes. Mike Gilpatrick says A-Team.
That'd be such an awesome show.
I used to love the A-Team.
Yeah.
A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard, both awesome.
Not yep. anymore. Yeah,
can't have either.
Erased that from history.
It was funny too, like those Auto Trader commercials with the original Duke boys. I don't even think like they show from the top anymore. And then when they get the new like Dodge Viper, but they paint it orange, and there's obviously no Confederate flag out there. Yeah, right. And that was before this whole thing because they shot that commercial like last year.
Never happened. Wasn't here.
On DVD, they released like the Blu-ray. It's like a big black box over it.
Yeah, probably. That'll be next. A lot of these shows I'm not familiar with, but I know are really popular. Andrew of the Da says Jericho. Matt Zupka, Journeyman.
Never heard of either one of them.
Yeah, they're big. Every doing some research, every fucking list had like both of those on it. Chips. Holly
Didn't
Peters.
They do that? Didn't they do a remake?
I think they're doing a. They are doing a remake. Yeah, it's not out yet, but I think they are doing it.
TV show or movie?
I think movie.
Now, would you want to see a remake or just with new characters or like the old ones?
I've never seen one episode of Chips.
No, I don't know.
I did hang out with Eric Estrada in an airport.
Yeah, saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah, you just put that on the new Facebook page, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh. He tried to steal my wife from me.
Estrada.
He was cool as hell. He even like fucked with somebody who was like, oh man, where do I know you from? And he said like family ties or something. So I was like, I know you, man. Where do I know you from? He's just like rolling his eyes, making up fake TV shows.
One of my favorites, The Critic. Fucking love The Critic. It was like the perfect, it felt more grown up than The Simpsons. It felt like an evolution of how funny The Simpsons were into this kind of like a little bit more serious tone, yet still off the fucking rocker, sometimes hysterical.
Even the character himself, like, yeah. I thought he was funny. Like this, the way he was drawn was hilarious to mm-hmm. me.
His senile father. Oh my God. He
wasn't, wait, was it a stepdad or no, it was his dad.
Yeah, he was adopted.
Okay.
He was adopted. But yeah, he's the fucking best. I don't care how many stewardesses you've banged, you're a lousy pilot. Penguins can't fly. I fucking love The Critic, man. John Lovitz.
And his makeup.
Oh yeah, his makeup artist. And then fucking Duke Phillips. Holy shit. Oh, yeah. He's like the fake Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great, great fucking show. Just gotta bring that back. And that's great because you know, bring back a cartoon, you don't see how terrible everybody's aged.
Like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Up close.
62. 62? Holy shit. That's incredible.
My last one is another British show that I've talked about a bunch. Space, not space.
Cue card, wrong card.
The Mighty Boosh.
Yes.
The Mighty Boosh. Just awesome. Again, it's a sort of a surrealist, sketchy type of sitcom show with musical numbers, and it's just bizarre. I don't know how else to describe it. It's really out there, but absolutely hilarious. And again, I think they did 3 seasons and like a live concert tour, like DVD, but right. just very, 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 very funny. Like it's, you'll either love it or you'll be like, what on earth is this? Get it off. Like there's not really an in between. It's definitely like a love or hate type of thing, but I dig it big time. I would love to see more of that. Noel Fielding, Julian Barrett, Michael Fielding, Dave Brown, and Rich Fulcher. All freaking hysterical.
Nice.
Yeah. A talking gorilla is one of the characters. Just go with it, man. Just go with it.
You sound like you're trying to get me to try MDMA for the first time.
I was just reminded of some other people who were on the show who were also part of the IT Crowd, which was awesome as well.
Oh, another, yeah.
Another British show.
That's a show. That's another show that everybody fucking loves. Yeah.
Crossover actors. Oh, man. Was that a good show, too?
That one dude from Bridesmaids is in it, right?
Yeah, the Irish guy who's in everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the two main characters. Yep.
Gotcha.
Still don't know his name, but he's that Irish dude who's in all the comedies.
Me neither. Okay, a couple other people chiming in. We got vote for your Adam West Batman. That should come back.
They should just redo that with just the same him and same guys with Adam West.
800-pound Burt Ward.
Yeah.
What do we call him? He's not Robin anymore. What's his moniker? No, we called him like the Quail or something because he was fat. What was it?
I don't know.
The ostrich. Was I in
that episode? Oh man, yeah.
That was a long time ago. I remember that being a. We called him the ostrich or something. I remember that being a Photoshop.
Oh, nice.
I can't
have an art doing Photoshops.
I love that. I love what we've been doing this show for so long that I can't remember past shows. I'm like, what do we call ourselves? I'm having a hard time referencing our own shit.
Just do it now. Out of Shape, Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you get that one from? Was that on Twitter?
Yeah, no, that was Facebook. Justin Bonnew says Adam West Batman. Melissa Leffler, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I watch that all the time.
Yeah, dude.
I guarantee that show does not hold up.
No.
Also, probably super racist. Way too racist to be on TV now.
Don't be ridiculous.
What did Mr. Trinket said he called him? Like a turnip or something? Or he said he just fell off the turnip truck? He called Balky a turnip.
I don't know what that means. He came from a fictional country.
Yeah. Where'd he come from?
Meepos.
I'll never forget the Bibi Bobka episode. They're making the little cream puffs and they all start exploding.
Yes.
I just thought that was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen as a child. It's like, you can do that with food. Oh my God.
This is a great one. BL Anthony says, the Spice Channel, squiggly lines and all.
Nice.
Scrambled Playboy Channel.
That's awesome.
Let's bring that back.
I'm just going to rattle off a couple of minds to...
In Living Color was one there that you said. Cool. All right, go ahead.
Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, I think they are bringing... They're doing a movie, I think, aren't they?
Something. I think you're right, yeah.
I think I just read that.
The Tracy Ullman Show? Because that was... That what got me... I think there's some nostalgia there because that's what got me into the
Simpsons. That's where Family Guy started, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt to star in, produce new live-action Fraggle Rock.
Yes, oh, I did read that.
Nice.
JGL.
I'll be down with that. Fraggle Rock was cool because that was on HBO way back when. That was like when HBO was an actual box that you put on top of your television. Like home box office. It was literally a box. Yeah. With like two knobs on it that you hook up to your TV. And yeah, it was on. That's how you got it. And I remember we used to get like bootleg tapes from like my friend's grandmother who would tape them and like send them the VHS tape. We just binge watch Fraggle Rock.
They just tape HBO all day and just send you like,
or just
here's
all the
Monday.
Fraggle Rock. Just, or, no, Fraggle just, Rock. They would just tape the Fraggle Rock. Just run a 24/7
yeah.
Tapes on HBO.
You got six VCRs going at once.
Yeah. Me and my friend would be 8 years old selling them on the corner in Chinatown like the DVD guys.
Yeah, I got HBO here. I got HBO here. What do you want? What do you want?
Who needs Monday?
Who needs Dream On? Any Dream On fans here?
Oh, it's first and 10. First and 10. Yeah.
Not necessarily the news. I got it.
Who needs their Sniglet fix?
Sniglet.
Wow, we're going deep on HBO.
That was impressive right there.
Let's bring back First and 10, by the way.
Sure.
I have the box DVD set. I have the collection.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
There's some people in it. I think Ogre was in it. From
Revenge
of the Nerds.
Yeah.
The kicker was, wasn't he the bad guy in Ghostbusters 2? Like the henchman?
Janosch?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he was Zagreb, the kicker, I believe. I think so. Fact check that. If I'm right, that better get an artifact. But yeah, that was a fun show. It had a lot of boobies in it. That was the number one draw. Yeah, Dream On was great for boobies.
Oh, dude. That was like one of those shows that I would like, you know, we actually had HBO and that was one of those shows that I would like sneak out and watch just to see the boobs.
Listen to the cast of First and 10. Delta Burke, OJ Simpson, Shannon Tweed, John Matuszak. That's who it was, not Ogre. Or that is Ogre.
I don't know.
Is that Ogre or is that Sloth?
Frederick Aloysius Palawatsky? I'm not sure.
it was Sloth. Sorry, it wasn't Ogre.
Okay.
So Sloth from the Goonies, OJ. I don't know who the rest of these guys are. But that's pretty cool. I feel like it wasn't like the same plot as Major League, pretty much.
Yeah.
Shannon Tweed used to be so hot.
First and 10.
Looks like.
Yeah. John Kasser. I'm right. Get that artifact ready.
Oh, shit.
Artifact. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't see it here. I don't see Ghostbusters listed on this.
No. Okay. Wait. Can I play it in reverse? Can I play the artifact in reverse?
It wasn't him. It was Peter McNichol.
Oh.
Dude, it's like the same guy. I challenge you to pull up a picture of Peter McNichol and a picture of John Kasser and tell me it's not the same guy.
All right, so for Jay?
My whole life, I went along thinking that.
What have I done?
I have one more show.
Oh. By the way, the no is even more horrible, but it's not as... It's very short in the movie. Like, I think people have in their minds just like extended on for like a full minute just to make it more ridiculous.
A Noah coaster? Is that what you said?
Oh, it's not a roller coaster. But yeah, they had that whole thing. Do you remember that?
No.
There's an animated picture of Luke and Vader on a roller coaster and be like, no. They just like inverted the sound and they just had them like going on a roller coaster together.
I got one more.
Okay, do it.
Party Down.
Oh, nice.
Party Down, and that was actually Dave's pick as well, Dave Ferguson, in our interview. But fucking awesome show.
Weren't they talking about doing a movie? They were.
All right.
But yeah, Jay? Party Down. Party Down is a fucking amazing show with so many fucking great cast members in it. Cam Marino, Martin Starr, Megan Mullally. Who else? Lizzie Kaplan was fucking awesome, and she's so goddamn hot.
You say Adam Scott?
Adam Scott. I forgot Adam Scott. Oh my god.
Yeah, he's only like the main character.
Yeah. Lizzie Kaplan, I think, is a great definition of a term that you coined, Jay, which is work hot.
What do you mean? Like she's hotter at work.
She's just hotter at work.
In the setting.
Yeah. It's the setting.
The right setting. Yeah.
She's like the epitome.
It's like an 8 to a 9.5.
Yeah. I think Lizzie Kaplan in Party Down is the epitome of work hot.
Nice.
Fucking great.
I forgot I coined that term.
Yeah.
Good job, me.
Yeah. I give you credit.
Thanks.
Credit where credit's
due. Get that on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get that in. Art, get on it.
Work hot. I mean, you got work hot. I got internet rich. Art's got jingle jingle motherfucker.
Did I say that?
Yeah, he did.
I like Time's Up better.
Time's up.
Three fists in your mailbox.
That's three fists in your mailbox. That's fucking Art's. Art's catchphrase.
It's a goddamn t-shirt.
That is a
like
goddamn
the Contra
t-shirt.
Code.
Yeah.
That wins.
Victory. Victory, you say?
You know what we should make is like polo shirts you can wear to work and it just says embroidered like in script, work hot.
Ooh, I like that.
Because you can actually wear it to work. Nobody know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Love it. Sweet.
Just a little up arrow. Like 7, 8, 9. All right. I think we're good, kids.
We'll
talk to you next week on Masters of None. For Mike and Art, I'm Jay.
See ya.
See ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now.
Father too many.
Someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.